This is Bill Brenner for SearchSecurity.com. You're listening to Security Wire Weekly for November 14th, 2007. This week, security luminary David Litchfield warns that thousands of databases are vulnerable to attack. And industry experts discuss the best way to respond to a data breach. We begin with a recap of Microsoft's November 2007 security update, a lighter than usual patch release fixing a couple of highly publicized Windows flaws. MS-07061 is a critical update that fixes a remote code execution flaw in how the Windows shell handles specially crafted URIs that are passed to it. If the Windows shell doesn't sufficiently validate these URIs, Microsoft warned, it could enable an attacker to run malware on targeted machines. Microsoft said the flaw exists in a Windows file, shell32.dll, which is included in all supported editions of Windows XP and Windows Server 2003. The flaw has already been the focus of multiple attacks. Microsoft also released MS-07062, an important update that fixes a spoofing flaw in Windows DNS servers. Attackers could exploit to send specially crafted responses to DNS requests, thereby spoofing or redirecting internet traffic from legitimate locations. The security update applies to all supported versions of Microsoft Windows 2000 Server and Windows Server 2003. Next, security luminary David Litchfield unveils a new report at Oracle's Open World conference in San Francisco, showing that thousands of Microsoft SQL Server and Oracle database servers can be accessed on the internet, lack critical updates, and are vulnerable to attack. Litchfield, managing director at UK-based NGS Software Limited, examined the number of Microsoft SQL Server and Oracle database servers that are on the internet and not protected by a firewall. The report, called the Database Exposure Survey 2007, found that about 368,000 Microsoft SQL servers and 124,000 Oracle database servers were directly accessible on the internet and not protected by a firewall. Litchfield said 66% of Oracle database servers found were running versions known to be vulnerable to critical vulnerabilities. He said 82% of SQL servers were running SQL Server 2000, and only 46% were running Service Pack 4, the remainder running Service Pack 3A or less. DBAs are also failing to deploy hotfixes, and instead are waiting for service packs for SQL Server. Litchfield said database servers should be tested to make sure they can't be accessed from the internet. Also, any external access to database servers should be controlled by a firewall to only allow connections from set IP addresses or address ranges. We'll be back after this message.
Mergers and acquisitions are common in today's rapidly changing business market. And before long, M&A activity will almost certainly have an effect on your organization's enterprise security. Don't be caught by surprise. Start preparing today by checking out SearchSecurity.com's Corporate Mergers and Acquisitions Learning Guide. Experts like Michael Cobb and Ed Skotus offer advice on how to successfully integrate compliance efforts, merge network security policies, defend disparate web application infrastructures, and much more. Master the policy practices and people problems of post-merger security. Check out the Corporate Mergers and Acquisitions Learning Guide today. Visit SearchSecurity.com and search for Mergers and Acquisitions. You'll be glad you did.
One of the first considerations for a company that may have had a data breach is when and if to disclose the incident. Of course, doing so is the law in many states. But security experts at the CSI 2007 conference in Arlington, Virginia last week urged companies not to move too quickly, because a poorly executed notification can make matters worse. Before those notification letters go out, the company needs to get a clear picture as to what data was taken, how it happened, and if an attempted breach was even successful, said Gibbs Cerebo, senior information security analyst for San Diego-based Science Applications International Corp.
As with any incident response process, you want to have policies and procedures. You want to identify individuals that are going to be responsible, make sure that they're available when they're there. So you have call trees and other mechanisms. So if somebody, if it's 2 o'clock in the morning, is a breach, you have some way of contacting someone. And of course, technology in place, IDSs, security information management systems, all those things. Again, nothing really new there in the sense you just want to have a good view of your organization. If you go down to the show floor, there's a lot of organizations that can help you provide those technologies that can give you a better view of your network and figure out what's going on. Some of the content monitoring tools, the data leak prevention products that are on the market now can tell you a little bit more about what may be flowing out of your network. Because a lot of the technology right in the past has always been focused on, okay, what type of attack is it? Is this, what sort of signature is it? And less about what kind of data is leaving your network. Is it trade secrets? Is it chocolate chip recipes or whatever? And so those sorts of decisions about what happens and what kind of data you're talking about will help you greatly in the making the decision about, is this a breach, what kind of data it is? Because everybody's overfilled with data right now. And they need to be able to make sense of what data they're talking about and understand what's gotten hit and what actually happened, because that will have more to do with whether you report it than the details of the fact that, well, somebody used a buffer overflow on a server someplace and was able to grid root level. What data was on the server and could they get to other servers is usually the question that needs to be asked in those cases.
Cerebo said it's important for the company's legal counsel and communications team to work together on the proper wording of a notification letter, because one that's short on details and steeped in legalese can cause further frustration among customers and business partners, opening the door to nasty rumors on what may have happened. A good disclosure emphasizes clearly what information has been affected, what steps are being taken to detect criminal activity and keep further breaches from happening, and what affected customers can do to ensure they don't become victims of fraud. Lawrence Dietz, Managing Director of Information Security and Legal Support at Tal Global Corp in San Jose, California, said that too often incident responses are splintered and chaotic, with each department chasing its own individual agenda. The goal of his presentation was to teach attendees how to launch a collective incident response that combines traditional investigation techniques with data forensics to meet the needs of IT, HR, legal, and law enforcement. He suggested incident response teams use case studies to paint pictures of how the company may be compromised and what the outcome will be based on various types of responses. He presented a series of mock incidents and invited the audience to discuss how they would handle certain aspects of a response.
You have to have a pre-planned anatomy of an incident so that you know what the critical junctures are for decisions and actions. The second thing is that even though you're IT-oriented, security people who are smart enough to be scared by Office 07, sometimes incidents will require, traditional investigation techniques. So, for example, our clients are typically general counsel. General counsel will call up and nod in so many words and say, we think Bob, Mary, or Bill is a dirtbag, and we want to prove it. And we want to prove it two ways. We want to prove it electronically, and we want to prove it by having them tail, by photos, by record searches, by other means. So investigations should look at both sides of the equation, traditional and electronics.
Among other things, Dietz recommended responders create a checklist in advance so they can quickly get their priorities in order and draw up theoretical scenarios top executives can easily understand. That'll do it for this week. The latest information security news is always available as it breaks on our news page at searchsecurity.com/news. And you can always catch our Security Wire weekly podcasts featuring summaries of the latest news and interviews with security professionals at searchsecurity.com/podcast. Again, I'm Bill Brenner. As always, thanks for listening.